Lord. Thank you, Gonzo/Larson family. Amen. Wonderful song. I noticed Brother Jerry was the only one missing tonight, and so we got to pray for him. Amen. But I want you to know, Vacation Bible School, I believe in training up a child in the way they should go. Amen. And so I got something here that I want to show you, because I believe in training up a child in the way they should go. And when he is old, or she is old, she will not depart from it. That's the authoritative word of God on the matter. Amen. So I only know one person in this church who this is probably close to fitting. Amen. And so guess what, Titus? It's all yours. Amen. Oh. And by the way, this goes along with it. Amen. Champions. We won't discuss why it happened all the way back in 1997, but it's still good today. Amen. Amen. I wish Brother Gonzo were here to see it. That's all I wish. Amen. All right. Ephesians 5 in your Bibles tonight. Don't you just love church? Isn't it just a joy to come to church and serve the Lord? Man, I want the kind of church where people are just chomping at the bit to come. They just dying to be there. I mean, they just can't wait for Sunday. Amen? Man, that's the kind of church I want to create. But I'll tell you what, it's God that makes that kind of church. Amen? And praise the Lord. God is good. Ephesians chapter 5. Well, the Lord put upon my heart to start a series of messages on the roles of a Christian. God has roles for each one of us to fulfill in our lives. And we're going to look at the different roles that God has for us and how God wants us to fulfill those roles. And so we're going to look, beginning Ephesians chapter 5 tonight, and we're going to look at the role of husbands and wives. The role of husbands and wives. Let's begin Ephesians chapter 5, and let's begin with verse number 20. And we'll read the rest of the chapter here, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse number 20. Notice the Bible says here, giving thanks always for all things unto God for the and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible tonight. Thank you for your word. We ask your power and your help tonight as we open your word and preach it. May we rightly divide it. May we take the truths of it, God, into our heart and into our mind, and may they find a lodging place within our hearts, knowing that it's your almighty word that is given to us tonight. So bless the hearer, we pray tonight. Bless the preacher, bless the hearer, and God, help us, I pray tonight, to fulfill this precious role that you've given each one of us, the role of husband and wife. And I pray these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The institution of marriage is not something that the world thought up. The institution of the home and the marriage is something that God himself gave to us. It was in the Garden of Eden that God saw and created Adam. God saw also that Adam was alone and that he needed an helpmeet for him. And so God created Eve. God brought Eve out. God made Eve out of the rib of Adam. God made Eve and brought her to the man Adam. And from there on, God had a specific role and a specific purpose for each one of them that he wanted them to follow. And he saw this. We see this again and again in Scripture from the Old Testament all the way on. We even see a lot of it in the Old Testament in regards going all the way up to Abram. And Abram, he and his wife Sarah were godly people. They loved God and they chose to serve God. And Abram, God led them out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and Sarah, his wife, followed him. And together they accomplished God's will, and together they accomplished God's purpose as they both fulfilled the role that God had given for them. Now, it's no different in this generation in which we live. We have battles against the home today like never before. There are so many things that try to seek to divide homes and marriages in the world that we live in today. And the child of God has to see what God says about it, fulfill the God-given role that they have in their marriage, and fulfill it with a heart that loves God. I want you to know that there are roles that God has put in the Word of God. A role is a place, a position that God has planned for you. There's many different roles. And the role of husband and wife is a role that God has. It is a good thing. In fact, the Bible says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing." A wife is a good thing. Now, we won't discuss why it calls her a thing. Amen? We won't discuss that. But it simply means that God has given a wonderful thing in the home and in the marriage. But the home and the marriage today is under attack. The home and the marriage and the roles of husbands and wives are being moved and switched around. And I believe that's why we have frustrated homes. I believe it's why we have people who are unhappy. I believe that's why divorce is greater than it ever has been before. And the percentages of divorce, you know, 2 out of every 3 marriages today end in a divorce. That's sad. It should not be that way. I believe that if each person in that marriage fulfilled God's role in that marriage, that God will bless that home and keep it together. Amen. And so tonight we want to look at the roles of husband and wife. Now, let me say, first of all, God has a role for a husband to fit in his life. And I want you to see what Scripture says. Let's begin tonight, please, with verse number 23. And notice what verse 23 says. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife," and he gives us a comparison, "even as Christ is the head of the church." There certainly is no doubt that Christ is the head of the church. It is his church, it's his bride. There's no doubt as to that. There's no doubt at all. is to that. But yet there suddenly becomes doubt in marriages today as to who should be the head. Now, I looked up that word head, and it's amazing what it means. You're going to be really shocked at what it means. The word head means the head. That's what it means. It means he is the leader. He's the one at the leadership role of that home. It means he's the top, the big cheese of the home. That's the man. That's what it is. He's the head. At least I got one amen there. Amen. The rest of the men are too chicken to say amen. But yeah, amen. Amen afterthoughts, amen. But it is so true, and it's biblical, that the husband is the head of that home. That is God's role for the man. And I want you to know, we fight a lot, there's a lot of battles and people fight today over that subject alone, because we see the home confused as to who is leading the thing. The leadership of the home today is confused, and it shouldn't be. If we believe in the Bible and we believe it's God's authority for faith and practice, then we also need to put this into the understanding of our homes. Amen. Our homes have to have a head and a leader, and God is chosen for the husband to be that head. Now, let me say this, fellas, that is a role of responsibility.
Right.
That is a role of responsibility. And what it is actually meaning and inferring is that that man, because he's the head of the home, he is responsible for the spiritual and the physical welfare of the way that family goes. Men, that is your role in the home. Amen. You see, God doesn't come to the woman and ask her one day on Judgment Day how she ran the home. God's going to come to the man of the home, and he's going to ask him how he ran the home. That responsibility of the home lies solely on the man. He is the head of the home. Now, can I tell you, homes, there is sometimes a battle for the headship of a home today. Years ago, when I came to Bible college, I stopped in a little town in Kansas, and they had animal oddities in this place. They had albino animals, and they had stray things, and they had there in the back a two-headed cow. Has anybody ever seen a two-headed cow? You've seen a two-headed cow? Now, they used to have the old times where they'd have these strange animals and the two-headed animals, and they called them a freak show. And that's probably amply given a good name, because truly, when you've got two heads trying to lead the thing, you have got a freak show.
Amen.
Are you hearing me tonight? Are you listening to me? A home cannot run right with two heads. The husband is the head of the home. Now, he's not a dictator. Did you catch that? Because some men like to say, I'm the head of the home, so I'm going to tell everybody what to do. Not out of a responsible motive, but out of a selfish motive. Out of a self-serving motive. And can I tell you, that completely goes against Scripture and what God would have us to do. It's not right. I'm saying to you tonight that, man, you are the head of your home. If that home goes down spiritually, and by the way, I've seen this again and again, when a home goes down spiritually, it's because there's a man that is not spiritual in that home. He's messing around with wrong things. He's doing things he shouldn't do. He's watching stuff he shouldn't. He's into pornography. He's into all kinds of garbage. He's buying all the toys for himself and not giving a thought to his wife. Can I tell you, a man treats his wife that way ought to be ashamed of himself. He is not fulfilling the right role that God has for him. I'm simply saying to you tonight, homes get destroyed when a man is not a leader, a spiritual leader in that home. And can I tell you, that means a man needs to be an example in the home. A man needs to be a spiritual example in the home. Men, you need to be in your Bible every day.
Amen.
You need to be in God's Word every day. Every man needs to keep his heart close to God, because you're leading something that God gave you.
That's right.
And if you obfuscate that responsibility, if you give it over to your wife and go sit on your easy chair, shame on you.
Amen.
Shame on you. If you and some men want their wives to be the head of the home, can I tell you what? You're still going to stand before God for that. You're still going to stand before God for that. Hear me tonight. Husband is the head of the home. Now, ladies, you are not the head of your home. I didn't hear any amens on that. Ladies, you are not the head of your home. God did not give you that role. Let me say that again on this side of the pulpit. But it's true. It's true. Ladies, God did not give you that role. That is not the role God gave you. I'll get to you in just a minute, but I'm still working on the men right here. But men, you're the leader. Notice what verse 25 says. Love, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, your wife needs you to love her. Your wife needs you to love her. Your wife needs love. Love. You know, she can look past a lot of things that you do, you know. Burping and dripping milk down your chin while you're eating your Wheaties and breakfast. And she can look over a few things and she knows you love her. Amen. Yeah. Love does help. You know, love covers a multitude of sins even. That's scripture. Love your wives. Can I tell you what problem man is today? We get too caught up in ourselves. We get caught up in ourselves. And there's our wife over there who's starving for love. And I tell you what, I preach to myself. I preach to myself on this too. Because it's God's God-given role that we show our wives love. And by the way, show it how she needs you to show it. Don't go out and buy a new shotgun, bring it home, say, honey, I love you. Yeah. Show her how she needs it. Take her out to eat.
Amen.
Take her to her favorite place.
Amen.
I'm getting to you ladies, so don't wave your hankies too far, all right? That's coming. That's coming. Listen, I want to tell you something. Love has to be shown. Love has to be shown. Your wife needs to see that you put out effort and time and money to love her. Our wives need love. That is your role, husband. That is your role. Husbands, love your wives. And he gave us a comparison, a scriptural comparison. He said, even as Christ loved the church. How much do you think Christ loves his church? He died on a cross for it. He shed his blood and gave up his life for the church. I'd say he loves it That is the same level that we ought to love our wives. Amen. Love your wives. Men, control your angry tempers. Don't be Mr. Blow-up at home. Don't be, control yourself. Don't allow sinful habits to take over. Don't spend too much time away from each other. Don't live with your selfishness. Give of yourself to your wife. Amen. Don't have the wrong expectations. You know, I'd say this. When your wife doesn't feel loved, listen to her. Amen? Listen to her. And sometimes us men, we're not good at listening, but we ought to get good at it. Now, lady, that doesn't mean you can tell your husband what to do, right? But you can share with him the love that you need. And you should. And men, we should listen. We should listen to that. By the way, let me tell you something. Those of you young ladies who are not married yet, you better watch some warning signals before you get married. If there's warning signals going off in your dating time and there's something not right and there's not peace, you better stop right there. You better make that thing right there and not go on. Or you better be willing to drop that guy. Here's what ladies do sometimes. They say, well, when we get married, he'll change. Let me tell you something. You are fooling yourself. You've got your head in the clouds. He will not change. Marriage can only create bigger problems because you get two people from two different backgrounds, two different lives, two different genders, and you put them together for the rest of their lives. And you expect perfection to come of it. Let me tell you, marriage has enough difficulties without marrying somebody out of God's will. Hey, let me tell you something. That boyfriend of yours smokes marijuana. You better dump him. Amen. You better dump him. If he's on alcohol, hey, if he's on a beer, well, he just drinks a beer every now and then. You know, marijuana and beer, they're just starting addictions for further addiction. That's all they are. The devil's allowing everybody is smoking dope today. You know how to avoid addictions? Don't start the first time. Amen. Don't take that first sip of beer. Don't try that first joint. Don't try the drugs. Somebody offers you drugs. You say, no! Amen. Be afraid of that stuff. Amen. It'll ruin you as a man. It'll ruin your home, your family. Stay away from it. And young ladies, don't marry somebody who's addicted to something. You know what happens with people in addictions? They run out of money and they begin to steal so that they can encourage and keep going on their addictions. And sooner or later, they get found out. They end up in jail. How are you going to pay your baby's food bill when your husband's in jail? Now listen, I think a young lady needs to have enough sense when she's dating somebody that if there is a red flag, she is not so emotionally attached to that man that she cannot say, take a hike, Mike. Did you hear what I just said? Should I repeat that one? You need to be willing, young ladies. If somebody's got addiction. If they're not faithful to church, drop them. You think they're going to be more faithful after you get married? No! It'll be worse. I could take you to a home. A fellow I went to school, Bible college with, he went all the way through Bible college. When he got out, he married a good, godly young lady. I mean, she was top notch. I don't know how he got her, because he was a bum. But she married him, and she stayed faithful to the Lord. But for the past 30-some years, he hasn't darkened the door of a church. And she's got to drag him along in life to everything good and decent. Don't marry somebody you got to drag along in life. Marry somebody who will lead you in spiritual things. And if he's not spiritual now, chances are he's not going to get there when you get married. Chances are he's going to let down his guard because he already got you. Are you listening? You know, some people live with rose-colored glasses. Same way with men. And by the way, same way, men, with a young lady. When you see dating a young lady, and by the way, don't marry Miss Diva. Amen. I was at work in Bible college. Went to work with a guy who got married. He got married the first year. His wife ran up, maxed out 12 credit cards because she had to have this, she had to have that, she had to have this, she had to have it all. That guy was working 3 jobs to pay for her gotta haves. Hey, when you first get married, it's okay to have a cardboard coffee table. Amen. An old Gremlin. Those things will work. You keep them running, you know. Get the old car. Amen. It's okay to live on love for a while. Amen. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say tonight, if you're going to fulfill the role that God has for you, it's got to be right. And you have to be willing to put yourself in that position of it right. Bible tells us that men, that our wives are the weaker vessel. That does not mean she's dumb and she's stupid. It does not mean that. And do not treat her like that. But it does mean that she will follow you if you know the Lord and you follow the Lord and you live for God, she'll follow you. And if she doesn't, then she's the one in the wrong. She's a weaker vessel. And then we see this today in verse 31. The Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Hey, when you get married, you have established your own home. Don't go back to mama. Amen. The Bible says when you get married, you leave father and mother. Listen, I want to tell you something. In-law interference causes a lot of trouble in homes. Causes trouble. Hey, when they get married, you're on your own. And thank God for it. Amen? You're on your own. And by the way, you better hope you've raised them right to where they know how to make the right decisions when that comes. Should we go to the ladies tonight or should we pray and dismiss? The role of a wife. What does Scripture say is the role of a wife? Notice the number one thing that Scripture teaches here in this passage. In verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Now, God is saying, the same way you're supposed to submit to the Lord is the same way you're supposed to submit to your husband. You're supposed to be submissive to him. Wow, preacher. You're preaching that? Why, we live in the women's lib day. When everybody's equal, and the woman is a lot smarter than the man, and she knows how to run the thing so much better. Have you noticed how TV portrays the family? Yeah. How Mrs. Simpson and all the kids treat Bart Simpson like he, or Daddy Simpson like he's an idiot.
That's right.
All the shows make the dad look like the big dummy. He's the big oaf. He doesn't know anything. But oh, the woman, she is the one that's running that home and running that family. Can I tell you what that's called? That's called Hollywood.
Yeah, amen.
That's Hollywood. That's not reality. And it's certainly not the Word of God.
Amen.
Wives are supposed to submit to your husband. And let me tell you something, ladies, if you have a problem with that, you've got to stay on the altar. You've got to keep your heart on the altar. Because there's something that'll rile up inside of you when your husband makes a decision that maybe you don't particularly like or particularly agree with. You better remember something. He's the one responsible for that home, and he's the one responsible for that those decisions. Now, I do not think that means that when you submit, that if a man asks you to do something evil or ungodly, that you should do that. I don't think that's what Scripture's teaching. I do not think that's the intent of Scripture. The intent of Scripture is that there is a role for you to understand that, and that role is that if you are submissive to your husband, that role will fit you, it will fit your home, it will fit your children, it will become the right place for you. There's a story told about a woman who lived in her home, and after a few years of raising kids, she got this idea that she should take over since she was smarter. She started barking out orders and decisions in the home, and she started telling everybody what was going to be done in the home. She talked down to her husband. She criticized him. He's not smart enough. I'm smarter than him. By the way, if you think you're smarter than your husband, you're not smarter than God.
That's right.
And God said to submit to your husband. So this woman thought she could run the home, and after a while she began to see rebellion come out in her children. She thought that she was doing the right thing, but yet somehow there was greater instability coming out in her children. Her children would backtalk her. Her children would boss her around, and she did not have the emotional wherewithal to discipline them in a godly way. Soon, she became frustrated. Her husband, relinquishing the roles that God had given him in the home to his wife, he became frustrated, angry, and they began to fight, and they began to argue more in their home. He did not understand why she had to be so bold and forward as to take up a role that really didn't belong to her, and that in a very short time brought her emotional frustration, defeat, discouragement. It brought her husband frustration in the home, and it created an instability and a rebellion in her own children. Until one day she woke up and she realized that she was not fulfilling the actual role that God had given her. And when she began with a submissive heart, and it began with a submissive heart to God, and after she began to that, she began to put her submission under her husband and giving him again the leadership reins of the home. She found that his frustration began to dispel. He began to love her even all the more. The children turned back to a stable home, and the rebellion and the backtalk stopped. It has all occurred when this woman realized, and thank God she realized it in time, that she was creating the trouble and the instability in her own home because she wanted to be the head of the home. Now, can I tell you, ladies, God does not, being in subjection does not mean that you're a whipping post or a rug that somebody could walk on. That is not right. That's not right. But if you, with a submissive heart, willingly and purposefully place your heart in subjection to your husband, you will find that it is so much easier for him to love you when you are in subjection to him. Equally for the husband who fulfills the godly role and takes up the role that God wants him to take up, he also will find greater respect from his children. He will find that his children will think more highly of him because he takes up the leadership roles in that home. He will find that his wife wants to do more things for him and wants to be closer to him and wants to meet his needs all the more because he too has found his God-given role and he has submitted to God in following and leading in that God-given role in his home, so that his home can be blessed and then God can use it for his glory and honor. Oh, listen to me. Ladies, God has a role for you. It's a role of submission. It's a role of submission. And can I tell you, if you struggle with that, if you have a hard time with that, go to God and give that to God and be submissive to him. Go to Titus chapter 2 in your Bibles, please. Titus chapter 2. Are you still with me? Titus chapter 2. Notice what this passage of Scripture here teaches. The Apostle Paul, encouraging Titus in his ministry, chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, he tells him things to preach to the all groups of, in the church, the young men, the old men, the older women, and the younger women. And this passage is a picture of what he is to teach them. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, notice. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Now that doesn't mean drink a little here and there, but ladies, amen, that's not what it's talking about. Teachers of good things. Now, ladies, let me tell you something that can destroy your home is if you get addicted to gossip. If you get addicted, and listen, gossip can be an addiction. There are people that feed off of it. They've got to have the daily news from all of their friends on Facebook. And I'm not bashing Facebook. What I'm saying is that it can turn into that. It can become like that. It can become a Christian's gossip center. And you know what it'll do? It will create a lot of frustration in your husband when you're a gossipy person. And you know, gossip reveals things about people that can be hurtful and destructive to people. And that's why gossip is such a horrible thing, because it can divide relationships. It can cause people who are in a church to leave because somebody hurt them through gossip and criticism. Hear me, ladies. Don't allow that in your heart. Don't allow it. Don't allow it to get inside of your gizzard. You just keep it away. I'm not going to be known as that gossipy lady in the church. Amen. Notice what it says, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. I believe the older ladies should still be teaching the younger ladies. I believe that's scriptural. Moms teach your daughters. Older ladies teach the younger ladies. And you know, the problem is today, a lot of younger ladies don't want to hear what the older ladies have to say. Amen. I want to tell you something. That lady in this church who's had a marriage for 40 years, 50 years, you ought to get some good advice from her. Because she's been through every gamut of emotions you can imagine in the middle of that marriage. And if she stuck it out and stayed with it, you ought to talk to her. You ought to get some advice from her. Amen. That was free. That won't cost you a thing. But notice that they may teach the young women to be sober. To what? Love their husbands. Love their children. Be discreet. Boy, discretion. Some ladies have no discretion. I mean, I know of a lady one time that talked to me. She just came up to me and told me about some anatomical things she was going through. I don't need to hear that. Just tell me, preacher, pray for me. I'll pray for you and let God sort out why. Okay? Amen. Amen. You know what that is, though? That's lack of discretion. A lady ought to have discretion when she's around other men. Be discreet. And by the way, this is also in the context of your relationship with your husband. Just because you're a little closer doesn't mean you can be indiscreet in your conversation with each other. Amen. Bet you haven't heard that in a long time. Discreet. Chaste. Chaste. It's an innocence that comes from within. Chaste. Chastity. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. Hey, have you noticed how preachers are taken out of the vows when a couple gets married to love, honor, and obey? You notice how preachers are taking that out of the context? We're getting away from the Bible. Amen. I want to tell you something. Home is only as good as those in it fulfill the roles that God has for you. Fulfill that role. Discreet, chaste, love their own husbands. Notice why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Ladies, if you'll fulfill the role, it will also uplift the word of God. When you fail or do not submit to that role that God has, you stand the risk of making the word of God blasphemed. That's what the word of God says. It is a serious thing to follow that role. It is an important thing. And it must be given in subjection to God. It must be. Our world will teach you the opposite. Our world will teach you to be tough and you run the home. And by the way, as this progression gets worse, you notice how things have progressed worse and worse? And now we've got two guys in a home raising children. And now we have, listen to me, there are parents today who are forcing their children to become transgender.
Yes, sure.
Forcing them. Causing them to physically change their body. Because that is what they want. Where has this all come from? I'll tell you where it came from. We got away from God's role. And what God said in the marriage. We got away from it. Lord, have mercy. What are we going to be running into next? Have you ever stopped to think of how a church is going to handle a transgender person? That's a boatload for me as a pastor to think about. I mean, you want them to be saved. You want them to know God, but they got to submit to God in that area. So I'm simply saying tonight, these roles will bless a lot. Listen, let me tell you something that's sweet. Is when I hear about a couple, an older couple that's lived together all their life and stayed married. That is a sweet and a wonderful thing. Amen. Praise God. And I know things happen in lives and homes and out of a person's control. And there's a divorce. There's a problem. I get it. I know that. I understand that. But hear me tonight. A lot of things can be avoided. A lot of peace can be returned to home. A lot of stability in children. A lot of happiness and love for wives. And a lot of fulfillment of a man in his own home can be created and caused when we willingly fulfill that role and do not try to take the role that God did not give us. So I ask you tonight, I ask you, are you fulfilling God's role for you in your life? Are you submissive to your husband, ladies? Husband, are you the head of that home? I'm saying to you tonight, there's a role that God has for you. Let's give our heart to the role. Let's give our heart to where God said, this is where I want you to be. That's the spot I want you to take up. And let's learn it. Let's take it up with all our heart. Oh, listen, you young men, one day you're going to get married. You're going to find God's will for your life. And when that day happens, you better be ready to fulfill the role that God has for you. Ladies, one day you're going to get married. Prince Charming is going to come along. Don't kiss him or he'll turn into a frog. Prince Charming is going to come along one day, sweep you off your feet. And you're going to be so emotionally wrapped up in that thing. That's fine. That's okay. But hear me. Don't make decisions that are going to get you out of the right role that God has for you. You say, well, my husband isn't fulfilling his role. Don't you worry about that. Don't you take his role. You just keep staying in your role. Well, my wife isn't fulfilling her role. Don't you worry about that. You keep praying for her and you just stay fulfilling your role and doing what God wants you to do, because you are then becoming the stability that that home needs. And when two fulfill the role, God blesses it wonderfully. Amen. And greatly. But we have to give ourselves to it. We have to be committed to it. And we have to be surrendered to God. Because hear me, it is, if God gave us that role, then to be right with God, we have to fulfill that role like God said to fulfill it. Are you fulfilling that role? If there's some area of your life maybe you're not fulfilling, hear me tonight. Don't worry about somebody else. Don't worry about getting somebody else straight. You just fall on your knees before God and say, God, here I am. I submit to what you want me to do. Would you do it tonight? Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.